My name is Demetrius. I'm joined with Francis here.
Hello.
So what is this podcast pertaining to? Well, we're both single parents. I think there is information out there on the internet that kind of helps single parents out, but I think sometimes it just helps to get information right from the source. Just cut and dry. That's why we're doing this. And of course, it is a grade for my class, so that also helps as well. So Francis, tell me a little more about yourself here.
What do you want to know?
Well, who are you? Who are you to these people that are listening to you or listening to you for the first time?
Who am I?
Yeah, who are you?
I am just like they are. If you are a single parent, it wasn't a choice. It was kind of like pressed upon me. You know, some people could say maybe bad decisions, maybe making decisions maybe too early in life. That maybe I should have maybe waited. But, you know, what's done is done. And I'm glad I did it.
Oh, okay. Glad you did it. It isn't like have kids, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We'll get more into you in a second here, because you are my guest here. So welcome.
Thanks.
All right. So I guess, well, I want to start off with just, there was a question for you. I don't know if I described this to you or not before, but I just want to go over a quick parent or child. Who was right? Who's wrong? Sometimes we're not right all the time as parents, but a lot of times children do get it wrong as well too. So I made it to it just before, but so my son, who's, you know, 13 now, was going 13. He actually mentioned something to me about what he described me talking to him was like to his friends. They asked him, so how can I describe this? He, at one point, was talking with his friends, playing the favorite game of Fortnite. And while talking with them, he brought up something to his friends. They were not aware of how to do something. They kept asking him how to do something. And he told them, well, you know, the best thing you could do is just do it yourself. That's how you learn. That's how you get, quote unquote, common sense. And they asked him, oh, well, how did you learn common sense? Well, I got it from my dad. And they said, well, what did he tell you to do? He was like, well, when I ask him a question, he tells me, just do it yourself. I don't remember saying it like that at all, but so parent or child, who was right? Is that something where you seem like, oh, you know what? Sometimes you just go through motions, and sometimes we say stuff really quickly. Maybe we should reword or retitle something, but I don't know. What do you think? Should that something that be restated, or is that something where it's like, oh, well, I mean, it is what it is sometimes.
It does matter. It does matter. Circumstances matter. Time and place matters. Perception matters. Because you might have said it with all the good intentions. You might have said it even in a joking manner. But he might have perceived it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, because of course they don't want to do anything for themselves. They'd rather have things done for them. So yeah, it's not about so much right or wrong. I always look back and remember my daughter being a little more harsher, or I thought was harsher, on my grandchildren. And it wasn't her being harsh. It was just her teaching them. And by her teaching them, it made her life easier. Because then they're not constantly asking, Mom, can you do this for me? Mom, can you show me how to do this? Because they already know how to do it. So it does make a difference. Makes a single mom, or even a mom with a husband at home, or a dad with a wife at home, it makes their job a little easier, because it does eliminate those extra 5 or 10 minutes that they could be using for other things.
I was going to say, do you have anything that happened to you, any parenting things that happened to you either recently or maybe way back when, that you're like, huh, you know what, maybe they were right in this instance, or maybe that something they thought they were right of and they found out, oh, you know what, Mom was right, maybe I should have listened to them.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, now that most, well, all my children are adults now.
Yeah.
Of course, they, for the most part, they thank me. Some of them made it seem like I was so harsh at the moment. But as they got older, they realized, wait a minute, Mom wasn't harsh enough. You know, and just listening to my mom even talk about me, it's like, I don't know how they get away with doing things, you know. Mm. I don't know. I'm scared of you, she would tell me. I'm scared of you. When you get mad, look out. It's just, like I said before, a perception. When you're younger, you seem to think that you're not allowed to do all these things. And in your mind, you want to be older so that you could just do whatever you want. But when you get to that age, you realize that you can't do whatever you want anyway.
Yeah.
And there's always right and wrong. And it's always a blessing to have a parent, a loved one, a person that you look up to teach you things, even from the smallest thing, because that's going to serve you and throughout your life.
Let's see here. So a little bit more about you then. Let's get into more details. So I think we talked briefly about that you work for a nonprofit, right?
Yes.
That help the elderly?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's awesome. What made you want to do that?
Well, basically, since when I can remember, I always had people around me needing some kind of help. And for the most part, there were people that were a lot older than I was. And I don't know, I always gravitated towards them. You know, maybe I was an old soul somewhere, you know. My mother's family, they were all old. There weren't too many in the newer generations and stuff like that. And I was the youngest out of my generation. So I kind of got used to that. And I saw that the younger people always had options. You know, they were all together with it. And, you know, it was easy for them to just ask for help. But the older people, not so much. Maybe because time had changed for them. Maybe stubbornness. Maybe they don't know the questions to ask. Could be fear. Could be anything. It could be them just not wanting to give that up. Not wanting to. They've kind of thought that they probably would lose something if they asked for help. You know, it could be stubborn, but at the same time, it's understandable. I can't imagine myself being in a situation where I can't do for myself. You know, like I can't cook for myself anymore. I don't remember what I did like 10 minutes ago, or even something as simple as driving.
We've been doing a lot for yourself for a while now, right? And so, like, take us back. You were...
How far back?
Well, I mean, you're helping your mom now, but it sounds like you've, if I remember correctly, you've always been helping your mom.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So, my mom, well, for some people, it would be considered not so good of a decision, but my mom in the 70s... got involved with my dad and had me, and they weren't married. So that's how it started, you know, and that didn't work out very well, unfortunately. But as far as I can remember, I always remember my dad being there, even though he wasn't living with me all the time. He was there. He was present in my life. And he was always a positive, you know. I can't say maybe he was a dad figure so much, but I do definitely know that my mother took the brunt of raising me. And my mother was older than most moms at that time. Most of the moms were having their kids 18, 19, 20. My mom was almost 30 when she had me. Mm-hmm. And through no fault of her own, she had mental illness and a few other circumstances that basically put her at a disadvantage. You know, she didn't have the common sense that everybody had. She came from another country. She didn't know the language as well as other parents that were born here did. And I always felt the need to help her as much as I could. As early as, I don't know, 8 years old, 9 years old. I might have not been too keen into cleaning because most kids don't like to clean. Mm-hmm. But I did adopt other things that maybe most kids that age wouldn't have done. I learned how to take care of myself, and I learned how to cook for myself. That would make her life a little easier.
What about the thing these kids don't know about now, like a checkbook and balancing that?
I was 12, I knew how to do all of that without learning it in school. Mm. And just reading and comparing things, reading bank statements and knowing how to make deposits and withdrawals and learning how to live within your means kind of thing.
So you're always helping, again, you know, you're helping the elderly now because you're probably helping the elderly, which would be your mom, the best. So it's like you just have that foregone knowledge, you know.
Right. And then not only that, I would help her friends. I would help other people in my area. And I always had those adopted moms no matter where I went, even more so when I came here to PA.
Okay. And so then going back, because now... I know this podcast is about, you know, just single parents and just dealing with that. So you were a single parent. Now you have three kids, right? Yes. But going back, you were a product of a single parent household.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Not only, you know, because some people say, well, you're talking about her life, but I was a product of a single parent household.
How was that?
And for the most part, you know, it was fine. It was fine. It was a struggle for my mom because she had mental illness, and to be able to have that structure was very important for her. I didn't realize it at the time. Of course, I was too young. But one thing I do remember, my mom having a very strong work ethic. And, you know, she made sure that we went and did things, you know, old school. Like, everything had to be earned. And it wasn't about getting the newest phone or the newest Barbie doll. I never, till this day, owned a brand new Barbie doll. Not that I really cared for them. But it wasn't that big of a deal for me. Of course, we grew up in a different generation where there was no video games and things like that. That started coming later on. But, you know, we enjoyed those little things in life that a lot of people take for granted now. So it was something. My mom spent maybe too much time with me, even though she worked a lot of hours.
Too much time.
Yeah, she had no social life. None. So it's kind of hard to think about that these days, you know?
Do you blame your dad for her not having a social life? Like, is there anything
that you kind of... I can't say I could blame anybody for it. I think this was more to keep her sane.
Okay.
You know, maybe if she wouldn't have had the mental illness, maybe she would have been different. But the fact that she didn't want to bring another man into my house because she felt that she didn't want me to be in harm's way.
Conflict at all when it comes to, well, perception-wise, like when you were there, like back then, I'm not sure if you were angry at all at him or, I mean, is there anything that changed perception-wise between what you thought of now as a child and now that you're older?
I could say I'm angry at him for basically knowing that she already had my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that she had had a tough life and then just coming into her life and then they conceive me and then off he goes again. Like, how dare you leave us in that situation and then not worry about, you know, paying for groceries even, or, you know, after a certain age, he just stopped giving her money. Like, he would help pay for the babysitter and that was it. And back then it was $25 a week. And for some people, it's like, oh, no, that's not that much. But think about it, 1970s, $25 a week was kind of a big deal. But that's when my mom, that entire check went to the babysitter. That was it. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to help you pay for food. I'm going to help you pay for, you know, household costs or her clothes or things like that. Once in a while, he would do it. But once I was like 6 years old or 7 years old, he stopped giving her money, period. He would disappear and show up like 2 years later. And later on, we found out it was more than that, but and why he did what he did. But
so that helped with your thought processes.
It kind of put me in a situation where it's like, whatever I do is my responsibility. And I can't expect someone to help me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be able to fend for myself. And whatever decision I make, I have to suck it up and deal with it, basically. So when I decided to get pregnant at 19. I was 18 going on 19. I had already had a miscarriage. And that whole experience put me at such a depressive state that at that point, it was like, all I thought about was getting pregnant again, getting pregnant again. I want to have a baby. I want to fill that void because I didn't realize that I had a void. And when I had that miscarriage, then all of a sudden I'm like, I have all these emotions, I have all these feelings, these hormone changes in my body, but I don't have a baby to show for it. So I was not happy. Finally, when I got pregnant with my oldest, it was different. My life changed and it didn't matter. None of my past had mattered. Nothing mattered to me at that point. I wanted to stay in a relationship that I was in. Because my father wasn't in my life the whole time, I did above and beyond to stay in that relationship, no matter how bad it was, because I said, you know, I'm not going to let this happen to me like it happened to my mom.
Right.
But that's okay to let go of something that's not good for you or your children. But I had to learn that a little later on.
So now, kind of fast forwarding and seeing now, okay, now you're the single parent, raising three kids, and seeing kind of how they're growing. Are you able to, I mean, we kind of keep harping on perception here, but that's kind of one of the things that are highlighted here, especially in my class here for conflict management. It's just like how, you know, separating that perception with your own perception, what is really true, what you perceive to be true versus what are actually kind of the facts, you know, if you will. Is there anything that you had to like break down to your kids? Like, okay, yeah, you're angry about this, I understand, but things are gonna get better. Is there anything that you kind of, with your knowledge of you know, what you've went through?
For the most part, I think the only real tough part was explaining to my son why his dad wasn't going to be living with us. That might have been the only time that I really had to explain, because for the most part, they knew what was going on as much as I did, and they were ready for our lives to change already. One thing was, just an example. I grew up with a nice kid, and we would see each other years after, you know, I had our kids and stuff like that. And my daughter would tell me, she would say, "Mom, I want a daddy just like him." And she had her own daddy. It's like, what's going on? Your own kid is telling you, "Wait a minute, I don't like this man. I don't want to be with him. What are you doing with him?" So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, my son, who's from the same father, at 5 years old, because he was a little younger, and he would tell me, he would say, "Why are you taking my best friend away from me?" Fortunately for us all, that was the only time he really said something like that. But that was pretty rough.
I mean, just even going off of that, like, what, how do
Yeah,
you?
you can't deal with a 5-year-old telling you something like that. It's
Oh,
really hard.
no, that's definitely hard. What, how does that, is that, because I know you have goals, you know, when raising them, and then you hear something like that. Like, how does that shift your goal? Does that make you say, hey, you know what, I'm just going to focus and keep focusing and just buckle down? Or does that say, hey, you know what, let me rethink some things, let me go about things a different way?
Well,
Again, goal shifting in a way.
I don't believe, for some people, they make that choice to be a single parent. And it's true. These days, you know, depending on your education, your economic status, or whatever your case may be, like in this old movie, there's this woman, I think her name was Olympia Dukakis, criticizing the daughter for having a frozen pop, like a frozen embryo or sperm or whatever. It was just hilarious.
I never heard of that.
But yeah, it's an old movie. But why? Because she felt that her time clock was ticking, and she wanted to be able to have a child, and she wasn't in a relationship, so she didn't want to rush into anything, and she didn't want to be with the wrong person, so she chose to do the artificial insemination. So for some people, yeah, you know, that's fine. But for others, I always say, you know, never be impulsive when you're in a relationship. Yeah, anybody could be a single parent, but are you going to be good at it? You know, who's
Right.
really good at something like that?
This is true.
You know, and I had my reasoning behind it, you know. Domestic violence is not a situation to be in when you have children. You know, not a situation to be in, period, but even more so when you have children, because they suffer. They always hurt, and who do they love, you know? They don't want their parents to be hurt. They don't want their parents to be fighting. Also, addiction and alcoholism, you know, those are big topics when it comes to reasons behind people being single parents, because how long can you tolerate that before everybody goes down? Because sometimes it's a sink or swim situation. And what are you going to do? You're going to let the whole family, you know, go down because that person decides that their drug is their God? You can't. You know, it gets to the point where maybe the person, you know, they just work for that purpose. Or what if they don't even work? What if they're the kind of people that, you know, can't work because they can't keep a job, and all they do is steal and do all kinds of horrible things in order to be able to get that fix? You know, can you survive on something like that? You can't. You can't raise your kids like that.
Right, no.
So whatever the reasoning is that the person is single, you know, make sure you think things through, because sometimes people are just too impulsive these days, you know. I never recommend separating. I never recommend that. It's always nice to have a two-parent household, regardless, you know.
No, I'm with you. I'm also a product of a single parent as well. So my mom raised me as well. So I think it is very important. There's things I feel like I would have learned a little more of, or earlier on had a father been around and said, hey, you know what, this is how you do things, or maybe you should do things this way, you know, just to, there's stuff I'm learning now, you know, as I'm getting older, but it would have been a lot easier. So now, as a single father raising a son, I just try to instill that in him. So, but all right, so before we end the podcast, there's a few things, some questions I looked up here over the web, since, you know, this is the first podcast. Hopefully many more will ensue, but if not, you know, hopefully we got some good information coming from the podcast today. So since nobody could really come in with some questions, I just scoured the web and found some questions that I thought were interesting that people on the topic of like single parenting were asking. So these, they don't show whether these are male or female or who they are. It was just kind of just, again, single parenting questions. But so Francis, so first question, we kind of touched base on this earlier, but this question says, single parents who are not receiving child support, are your children aware that there is no child support? What do you tell them about it? What do you feel about child support in general?
We talked about this a little earlier today, and what do I feel about child support in general?
Yeah.
I believe that both parents, no matter what their gender are, whatever the case may be, should be not only in their child's life, but they should be responsible for every aspect of their life, whether it's the roof over their head, whether it's the food they eat, the clothing they wear, any extracurricular activities, their education, anything. You know, I believe that it's either half and half, or whoever makes the most money puts the most into it.
So balance, basically.
A balance. It has to be a balance. And if you can't co-parent, at least try to be there for them and try to be as, you know, I understand people's situation. There's always a struggle when it comes to money. But, you know, the child's here. You can't send them back. It's not like you can return them at a store. Just like when you made a bad purchase or something and you can't afford that credit card payment or whatever the case may be. It's not the case. Like, we're in it now. So now you're just going to have to deal with it. And if you don't make enough money in that job that you're in, guess what? Time to get a better job. I'm not telling you to kill yourself, have 2-3 jobs, like, you know. But whatever it takes for you to live better and for your child to live better. Period. So many people would be less scared of child support if they only did the right thing from the beginning. A lot of people end up with the child support scare because they're not involved in their child's life.
Definitely a single father too. I think that's the stereotype. But, you know, maybe we'll have to, because that's a whole other podcast is talking about single fathers and the stereotypes. And, you know, they're not all bad, but are there a lot of ones out there? I'm sure you can attest that there are. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to hopefully, you know, talk about that another time. But so back to the question. So child support, that's how you feel about it. Right. What do you tell your kids about it?
Well, my children from the beginning knew that their father was sending money to them. Even the older ones that didn't get a whole lot, because he didn't send as much as the other one did. But because I had to divide all of that money in two, between two, and pay, you know, daycare, you have to pay this, you have to pay that. But they always saw that. They always knew that, you know. And it never changed. It was always the same.
So when you say always, was it very early? Like, was there certain?
Well, I could say that maybe by the time they were 8 years old or something like that, they knew I was receiving child support, but they never knew how much. I think till this day, they don't even know how much, and they're in their 20s going on 30.
Is this something you just actually said, hey, I'm just kidding?
Yeah. Okay. Your father is helping out. It wasn't court mandated. Oh, he did it because he knew that I needed to help. So you didn't
get into details.
We didn't get into details. Okay, it was like, never
by the way, this is, okay, I see what you're
saying. It was never about how much or anything. This is help.
I thought you sat down and say, hey, look, boys and girls.
None of that. None of that. And I don't believe that they need to know that either.
Right.
They don't need to know that. Because this is just part of what's needed to help assist the main person that's supporting that child get by, pay their bills, pay the food, pay, you know, for every aspect of that person's life. And no matter, even if they go out on a vacation or whatever the case may be, they're entitled to that too. We're all human beings, you know? Right. So, you know, I always have that. It always bothers me when I hear, oh, why am I going to give her money? Why? Because I don't even know if she's going to spend it on him. It doesn't matter. It's your responsibility. Mm. It is your responsibility. She's already spending all of her time on that child. She is, most of the time, it's the brunt of the responsibility is on the custodial parent. And who helps her? Like, who's doing all of this? So just give what you're supposed to give and move on and make sure that that person is doing what they need to be doing with that child also. Because there are situations where I see, it's not always, it's few and far between, but there are situations where the person gives a large sum of money and then the kid isn't walking around with the cheapest, nastiest shoes or the worst clothing in the world. And of course, those are situations that happen, but usually it's not the case. Usually us as parents, whether we're single parents or married or whatever, we want our kids to look good and be better than us. So
right. You're not opposed to the other side, fathers getting support?
I'm not opposed to either or. Whoever has the brunt of raising this child should have help. And if you can't help by physically being there, you know, which should be all encompassing, it should be all of it. You should help with money, you should help with attention, with time, with raising, which with every aspect of that child's life. And if you can't be there physically, at least be there with money or a card, a phone call, you know, the shoe. You know how kids run out of shoes quick because like either they destroy them or they grow out of them so quick. Winter's coming. Everybody knows winter's coming. Mm-hmm. What size does such and such wear? Or how about you call them? Do you know what size you wear? You know, just messing just to have that conversation. Would you like mommy or daddy to buy you some boots, you know, so you could play out in the snow or, you know, simple things like that. Do you need a new coat? Like, even if they didn't need a new coat, do you need a new coat? You know, so it doesn't even have to be all that expensive. It's not about that. It's not about how much money you spend on them. And that's another thing. That's another podcast.
Well, hopefully, we'll have to.
So it doesn't matter whether it's a single mom or a single dad. Whoever carries the brunt of that responsibility should be compensated, because there's no worse feeling than to feel obligated to work, even when you're not feeling well, even when you're sick, even when your body can't take it anymore. Because a lot of single parents do above and beyond, and even they don't take care of themselves because they're so worried about that child. Having that support is not just support, just, oh, they see it as money, but that money helps pay the bills, that helps pay the light, that helps pay for so many things. Then when there's only one person doing it, it's stressful. And then that stress reflects on that child. How can you possibly say you're a good parent with all this stress and all this worry in your mind when you're taking it out on your kid? Don't tell me you're not. Most people do. Right. Most people do.
Well, on to the next question here. You're the single parent of a very active, impulsive 3-year-old boy, and you use a leash with your young son for safety purposes when taking him on outings. How do you deal with the judgmental looks and comments from strangers? So I am very judgmental with people with leashes. And I guess maybe it's the look, or maybe I feel like, oh, well, I mean, if a kid's getting into something, it's up to you to kind of make sure they're not getting into it without a leash. Why do I feel that way? I don't know. Maybe it looks off. Maybe if I see them with the backpack or the leash, and then I attribute that to an animal. And it's like, okay, well, animals have leashes and, you know, well, dogs, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, is it necessarily wrong? I don't know. Maybe I'm biased because that's just the way I'm feeling. But how do you feel about, because I can see at the same time, too, especially if you have many kids, that a leash may be easier to kind of handle, you know, the kid while you also have another kid in your arm, you know, how you can't chase him around. I don't know. What do you think?
I think safety first. Uh-huh. You don't know the circumstances. What if that child has autism or something, a condition that you have no control over, and no matter how much you yell and you tell them what to do, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
What if they're ADHD and off the chain and they're bouncing off the wall? I tell you what, if I have to tie them up to make sure that they stay close to me and not run across the street and get hit by a car. I've seen it. It's not a good sight.
What would the question be about then? Like
people
when you say
criticizing?
Like, you know, like when you're old, like, you know, because back then, you know, there were no leashes and how, you know, some of the, they would say some kids grew up fine.
You know,
even
you
with
know a lot of things were misdiagnosed. You know, a lot of things have come to fruition. We have a lot more people on this earth right now. People are living a lot longer. And it's not, you know, survival of the fittest so much as it was back then. So, of course, those circumstances wouldn't have happened back then because chances are that child wouldn't have lived to adulthood. No way. There wasn't as many cars on the road. It just, you know, there might have not been so many psychos in the street, you know, trying to, you know, what do they call them? Those sex traffickers or human traffickers, maybe. You know, everything was in a lot less amounts back then. So, of course, you know, back in the day, okay, that was back in the day. We're now, we're here. This is what's going on. So we have to deal with it as best as we can. My first child, I had one of those little ones that you could tie on her wrist.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And she wasn't one of those kids that were all over the place, but she started walking really fast. And she was all over the place. And being born and raised in a big city, it worried me when I went out with her because we went walking everywhere. You know, I wasn't one of those people that would drag a kid in a stroller everywhere we went. We were walking. So sometimes I would let her hand go. Sometimes she was just impossible, didn't want to hold my hand. That was my way of letting her loose, but not too loose, that I knew that she was close to me. Of course, needless to say, she didn't like that very much, and I didn't do it for very long. But it didn't bother me. Some people had things to say.
Yeah, what did you
people
do?
People are always going to say.
Did they say something? What did you do?
I don't remember. I probably said something smart. I was really young when I had her. So chances are, I don't know, 20-year-old.
Face or something. Yeah.
You know, I got pregnant with my second so fast that probably they wouldn't say nothing. See, one with a leash and the other one in my belly.
Yeah.
It probably felt sorry for me. It's like, what is this girl doing to herself, you know?
And last question here. Mm-hmm. And you can, I know it's a generalized question, but maybe if you had one thing to answer with this, but how do I raise a kid as a single mother?
A kid?
How do I raise a kid as a single mother? Do you have any piece of advice?
If you're just raising one child is so different than raising more than one. Mm-hmm. All that attention, all that love, all everything just goes to one child.
I mean, even if you want to say, just as a parent,
how do you raise them?
How do you raise them? Yeah.
It depends on them. It depends on their personality. Everybody has a different personality. You know, some kids are just unruly and just drive you up a wall. Other kids are really relaxed and chill. Depends. Also, if your interests, if they're into the same things you're into, that's fun, you know. You're a single child yourself from a single parent household. And to be a single dad raising one son, you know, it's very easy. It's like, oh, I got a friend that I could play video games with. Or, you see it as more than just your child. You know, when you have multiple kids, that's a different story. Because now you have different personalities, different genders, different likes, different behaviors. It's never an easy task. Raising a child, nobody's ever ready to have a child. So there's no such thing as, oh, I should have waited till I was 30 or I should have waited till I was 40. Nobody's ready for a child. Children are all different and all hard to raise. And I believe that we're given this superpower as parents to be able to deal with everything. Because every day is unexpected. Every day is a new great thing or not so great thing that we have to deal with.
Well, thank you for taking the time out to record this podcast. Hopefully somebody will get some great feedback from this. Well, maybe you can interview me this next time.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. And hopefully you hear from us again soon. All right. Thanks.